Hey, today we're looking at Jesus the servant. We're in this series, it's all about Jesus as we lead up to Easter. And today what I want to do is I want to read the account of Jesus entering Jerusalem. And this is an account, this and the resurrection, it's something all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of them talk about. So we're going to be jumping around. You'll see the references change, but it's the same story. And so let me read the story and then we'll get into the teaching. So Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As Jesus came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you'll see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying it? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the donkey, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked, why are you untying it? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the donkey to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of Jesus, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord, praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this, they asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus. Hey, I just want to pull out some ideas from this story that we can learn from. First of all, I want you to notice the first sentence we read is Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. And I mentioned this to you, when you're reading the Bible, pay attention to the words that are there. And the fact that, you know, Luke is letting us know that here you got a crowd walking towards Jerusalem and Jesus is walking ahead of his disciples. And what I want you to realize is Jerusalem's not just a city. It's not just a town. Jerusalem is where Jesus is going to die. And Jesus knows this, and so do the disciples. Because many times in the Gospels, the disciples are trying to keep him from going to Jerusalem. And Jesus here says, you know, the Bible says, I'm sorry, for then on, Jesus began to speak plainly to his disciples about going to Jerusalem and what would happen to him there. He would suffer, he would be killed. 3 days later, he would be raised to life. He knew what was ahead of him. And you know how sometimes when you know you have something that you're not looking forward to, maybe it's a nasty test you have to go for at a doctor's office or something, right? And you're not looking forward to it. And like the whole day you're dragging because you don't want to do that thing. Jesus is the one who's leading the group saying, yo, come on, disciples, let's go. We got to get to Jerusalem. And the disciples are like, doesn't he know what's going to happen? He knew what was going to happen. He knew what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. He didn't try to get out of the crucifixion. He didn't try to get out of the beating, the false trial. He didn't try to avoid any of that because he understood that's what he came for. He knew that's why he came. He wasn't trying to get, you know, to escape it. Jesus is the one, he said, he came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's why he came, people. He wasn't trying to avoid the crucifixion. He wasn't trying to avoid Jerusalem. He knew what was waiting for him. And he's leading the way. He's saying to his disciples, guys, keep up. Come on, we got to get to Jerusalem. And to me, the picture of Jesus leading his disciples to Jerusalem when he knows what's waiting for him is a beautiful picture of a servant. Jesus died for who? For us. And he's in a rush to get there. Let's go. This is what it's all about. And then it says he sent two disciples on ahead, right? So he says, hey, go over there. There's a donkey that no one's ridden on. Untie it. Bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying it? Just say, the Lord needs it. And so the disciples have this mission that Jesus gives them. It's a small thing, right? Go into this town. You're going to see a donkey. Untie the donkey. Bring it to me. And if anyone asks you anything, just say, the Lord needs it. It's like Jesus saying to you, see that car over there? I need that car. Go bring me that car. And if anyone asks you, what do you do with my car? Just say the Lord needs it. Yeah, you and I would go gladly, right? It's like, you know, they're going to commit grand theft donkey. But listen, there are times when we follow Jesus when he asks us to do stuff that doesn't make sense. But he's testing us. It's a test. Are you willing to do what God asked you to do? That's what this is all about. It's this little detail in the story. We don't have to know where the donkey came from, but God wants us to know, listen, in your life and in my life, there are tests. How are we doing with those tests? See, Jesus said, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. If you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And you know what a lot of us as followers of Jesus Christ do? We get real sloppy with the little stuff. That's not important. And then we say to ourselves that when God gives me a big opportunity, that's when I'm going to take it seriously. And we got it backwards. Because if I'm sloppy with the little stuff, God's never going to give me an opportunity with the bigger stuff. So how are we doing in our lives? In the little areas. The little stuff. You know the stuff you're struggling with right now? That little persistent ache? That little persistent thing in your life that never seems to go right? That little thing you've been praying for that never has been answered? It's that ongoing little pain in your life that you just can't keep, you know, you just can't get rid of. Can I tell you what that is? It's a test. It's a test. God's testing you. He wants to see what you're made of spiritually. He wants to see how committed you are to following Jesus Christ. He wants to see if you're willing to live the life of faith, even when you're not doing, or I'm sorry, even when life's not going the way you want it to go. It's a test. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure what? Many trials. Why do we want life to be perfect and pain-free? Jesus said in this world, you're going to have trouble. Peter says you're going to have many trials. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through what? Many trials. Not one trial. Woo! We got through that one, Jesus. That was cool. Woo! Well, guess what? Here comes another one. Here comes another one. Here comes another one. Here comes another one. And you're going to start to say, God, what is this? It's a test. How strong is your faith? So when your faith remains strong through many trials. Now watch this. It will bring you much praise and glory and honor. Think about that. When your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise, much glory, much honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. There's this thing in the Bible that it sort of hints at, doesn't give us a lot of details about, rewards. Not rewards we get here, not blessings we get here in this life. Rewards we receive when we're standing before God. That's what it's talking about. What's it going to be like when we stand before God? How many rewards is God going to say, "Woo! Look at the trials you went through. Look at the tests you endured." What is it that God's asking you to do? What is it that's in your life that is not what you want and God refuses to remove it? It's a test. How are you doing? Do you ever get those alerts on your phone? Wouldn't it be cool if God sent us one every time he was testing us? He doesn't. And watch this. Jesus says, go into that town, take the donkey, and if anyone says, what are you doing? Just say the Lord needs it. So to bring it into the Philly vernacular, the disciples are taking a donkey and somebody says, yo, what are you doing? It's mine. And the disciples say what? The Lord needs it. You see how Jesus told them what to say, and then what they do is they simply say exactly what Jesus said, the Lord needs it. So they brought the donkey to Jesus. Do you ever think sometimes what God asks us to do is too simple? What Jesus asks us to do is too simple? We live in a complicated world, and Jesus is asking us to do simple things, and it doesn't quite work that way. So we have to find ways to sort of massage what Jesus is asking us to do, because the world we live in today is so complicated. It's so much more challenging than Jesus' world. So the simple things Jesus asked us to do 2,000 years ago just won't work today. Yes, it will. When Jesus says to do something, our job is just to do it. It's just to do it. See, God's testing me, and he wants my simple obedience, and he's already given me the answers. Do you ever have a prof at school who would give you the test before you took the test? They were my favorite profs, right? You knew exactly what was going to be on the test. You know Jesus has done that already? Jesus has told us what's on the test. Somebody said, what's the greatest commandment? Do you know what Jesus said? Love God. Oh, and there's another one just like it. What is it? Love other people. Love is important. Jesus said, choose unity. Unity is important. Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom are servants. Servants, not leaders, not type A personalities. Servants. Jesus said before he ascended, go into all the world to make disciples. So we know this is what God's asking us to do. We know this is what Jesus prioritizes. How are we doing with it? How are we doing with loving God? How are we doing with loving each other? Yeah, but Pastor Rob, he's a Dallas Cowboy fan. It's tough to love those people. How are you doing with loving the neighbor on your street or in your building who is obnoxiously supporting the other candidate for presidency that you don't like? How's that love going? How's our unity going with followers of Jesus Christ who are different, who see the world differently than we do, who see important issues in the world differently than we do? Are we choosing unity? See, Jesus has given us the answers to the test, and just like the disciples simply parroted back to the guys, hey, the Lord needs it, and they took the donkey. Our job is to love God, to love others. Our job is to choose unity. Our job is to serve like Jesus. And our job is to prioritize the lost in the world, not prioritize ourselves. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. And now watch this. So Jesus has the donkey. He's riding on a donkey. And it says Jesus was in the center of the procession. And the people all around him are shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. Be the donkey, Bethel. Be the donkey. You know what the donkey never thought for one second? Woo, look at all the people cheering at me. I must be famous. Wow, look at everybody who loves me. They have this whole parade for me. Donkey never once thought that. Jesus built his kingdom on humility and serving. Never once did the donkey think he was the main event at the parade. The donkey understood he has one job. You know what it was? To take Jesus into Jerusalem. You know what our one job is? To take Jesus to the world. We're not the attraction. We're not the answer. We're not what the world needs. It's all about Jesus. So why is it so many of us as followers of Jesus Christ make it about ourselves? We want the limelight. We want the fame. We want to be the influencer. We want all the notoriety. And Jesus is saying, Bethel, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. How foolish would it be if the donkey said, you know what? Woo, I'm big stuff. I got to capitalize on this, man. I need to get a brand. I'm an influencer. I'm going to monetize this moment. See, we laugh. We do the same thing. It isn't about us. We have one job as followers of Jesus Christ, and that's to carry Jesus to the world. If Jesus has given you talent to speak or to sing or to play an instrument or to lead well or to communicate well with people, you and I would be nothing without that talent that God gave us. It isn't about us. It's about getting out of the way. It's about showing the world who Jesus is, just like that donkey. The donkey was simply used to transport Jesus to Jerusalem. Our job is to carry Jesus to the world. That's our job. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to spend a couple of days with about 10 other pastors from throughout the state of Pennsylvania. Almost 20 years ago, my wife and I, we loved to travel out to Lancaster County. And when we would travel out there, there was a church there that did Saturday night services before we were doing Saturday night services. So often when we would go out to Lancaster, we'd stay for one of their services. They did a 5 o'clock service. We'd go to that service and then we'd get in the car and travel back. And after one of these services, I said to my wife, man, I'd love to meet this pastor. And she said, go up and introduce yourself. And so, you know, one time I waited for the crowd to thin out, introduced myself, told him, you know, I'm a pastor in Philly. I'd love the opportunity to just sit and ask some questions. You know, would he be willing to spend an hour with me? I'll drive out and meet with him. And he said, sure. And we built a friendship. And over the, I don't know, almost 20 years, he has spent dozens and dozens and dozens of hours with me because I'd say, hey, I have a question, or hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me with this? Or we've sent teams of our people to his church. And he's been so gracious with his time, and he's had leaders at his church help our leaders, and teams from his church help our teams. And I mean, they've done so much. And he, you know, the church today that I'm talking about is a church of 20,000 people. They have campuses all throughout the state of Pennsylvania. And if I were to tell you his name, most of you would say, who? Who? You wouldn't know his name. And that's what has been so attractive to me about him over the years. He has never once made it about himself. And here he is, literally has one of the largest churches in America. And people don't know who he is. Listen, it isn't about us. It's not about us. It's not about us getting our 10 minutes of fame. It's not about us building our followers and saying, hey, look at the influence that I have. It's us using what God gives us to point people to Jesus. And it's us being thankful that God's using us. He could use anybody. He could use a donkey. He's using us. Last thing, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus, people. It's all about Jesus. So Jesus enters the town of Jerusalem. And it's there in that town that he has the Last Supper with his disciples. And you know, on the way in, you were given communion. And in just a few minutes, we'll take it together. But I want you to see Jesus the servant. I want you to see the love that Jesus continues to have. Jesus knows what's coming, the cross. He's in Jerusalem. He led the way there. He's telling the disciples, let's go, we gotta go. And here it is. So John says, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during this ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. He loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus. Jesus got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around him. See, back in Jesus' day, it was normal when you entered a home, a servant would be there to wash your feet. It was just the way it was. Because the roads were dusty, the roads were dirt, everybody wore sandals. And back then, they would tend to recline on the floor to eat. So it was not uncommon that you're eating dinner and someone's feet is 2 or 3 feet from you. And the servants would wash your feet. It was not a job people liked to do. So the disciples set this whole dinner up. But no one thought, who's going to wash feet? No one thought that. So Jesus shows up with his 12. There's no one there to wash feet. So you know who Jesus, you know what Jesus the servant does? Gets up and starts washing feet. Because that's what servants do. He doesn't make a big deal. He doesn't toot his own horn. He doesn't take a picture and post it to social media. Jesus the servant, washing feet. Hey, do you know the Bible says that if you do something for God and you brag about it here and you get recognition for it here on earth, you get zero reward for that in heaven. Do you know the Bible says that? It's about serving. Servants serve. They don't make a big deal about it. Servants see a need, they serve. Jesus saw a need. He got up and he served. What are the needs that God's put in your life? What are the needs of the people around you in your life? The people you live with, the people you're neighbors with, the people you work with, the people you go to school with? Servants serve. And it says he loved them to the very end. See, Jesus is showing us that we can't say we love someone that we don't serve sacrificially. It's that simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus loved these 12 to the very end. He knew that all but one of them was going to leave him at his moment of greatest need when he was on the cross. Only one stood around. The other 11, gone. And Jesus knew all that and he loved them anyway. That's love. That's love. And that's why we say it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. And so the Bible gives us these details as Jesus gathered for that meal with his disciples. When it was evening, Jesus sat down with the 12. While they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one asked, am I the one, Lord? Jesus replied, one of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago, but how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born. Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, Rabbi, am I the one? Do you have someone in your life who presses your buttons? Do you have someone in your life who plays games with you, who sets you off? That's what Judas is doing here for Jesus. Judas knew he was the one. He knew. Jesus knew he was the one. And so Judas is playing a game. Hey, Jesus, is it me? I said to you, if I was Jesus, it would have been a very different story. I think I would have ripped his head off and thrown him out. But what does Jesus do?